Welcome to UN Gender Focus. I'm Jocelyn Sambira at United Nations headquarters in New York. Coming up in this week's program, a turtle advocate from Trinidad spurs sea change in her community. But first, the late executive director of the UN Population Fund, UNFPA, Dr. Babatunde Oshotime, was a passionate advocate for women and girls' reproductive health rights. That's what John Mosoti, chief of the agency's multilateral affairs branch, said shortly after the passing of Dr. Babatunde was announced at the UN. The renowned global health expert died suddenly at his home after 6 years at the helm of UNFPA. Improved access to safe, voluntary family planning for women and girls is Dr. Babatunde's legacy, Mr. Mosoti told Amina Hassan, adding that the job was not yet done. He also explained why the UNFPA chief was insistent about supporting and protecting 10-year-old girls in particular.
He was indeed very passionate about the 10-year-old girl, basically because he realized, and the entire UNFPA realizes, that that is a very crucial moment for the life of an adolescent girl, because that is when things start going wrong, or we can make the right investments for things to go very well for the 10-year-old girl. For example, that is when they drop out of school, that is when they get pregnant, or they start getting influenced and to get pregnant. But if they are given the right information, especially about relationship, to take proper control of their bodies so that they can know that they should not be going through some of these harmful practices that are like FGM, then we wouldn't have challenges facing her as she grows up to become a woman. So it was a very passionate appeal for us to be able to make the right investments for a 10-year-old girl. And nobody was a champion than Dr. Babatunde Oshotime when it came to what we need to do for a 10-year-old girl.
And what was his memorable influence in the continent?
He was by far the champion when it comes to the rights of women and girls, by far. On issues of sexual and reproductive health and rights, he was a passionate leader in terms of stating that indeed these are the kind of things that we need in order to avoid maternal mortality, in order to make sure that adolescent girls, or girls in general, are able to get empowered so that they can achieve their potential. And this goes hand in hand with also the investments for the youth. He was really, really passionate about making the right investments for the youth, education, health, opportunities, training, skills, making sure that they continued on the right trajectory to become adults and to engage positively in the society. But also, it wasn't just that. It was about what he brought in as a leader. He was able to rally the international community to be able to see what needs to be done in terms of preserving, promoting, and protecting the rights of women. And you would see the kind of contribution that he made to Agenda 2030, or to many international documents and engagements in which sometimes these issues are driven out into the periphery. He tried to bring them out from the periphery into the mainstream. And I think if there is one lesson that has got to be learned, is that we have to take very concerted efforts to make sure that these issues remain within the mainstream. That means those who are marginalized, those who are discriminated upon, those who are not able to achieve their full potential, that they are actually supported and encouraged to be able to do that.
And what would be your favorite memory of working with him?
It's difficult to choose one favorite memory because there are so many. You know, what you need to understand is that any engagement with this man was really an occasion to behold. And I've had occasions when he walks into the office and you share various things and how to solve certain issues, or just having a cup of tea at the delegates lounge, or going out with him and being able to discuss some of the challenges that staff and people are going through. So the most, I think for me, if there is something most memorable, is the manner in which he tackled each and every of those issues. He was not only a leader amongst the Africans within the UN, but he was also like a father figure. He would actually talk to you like a son sometimes. And I loved that because, you know, for some of us who live very far away from home, or who unfortunately, like my dad passed on. Sometimes we looked up to him so that he can provide that kind of leadership. And I'm really, really grateful that I got to know him fairly intimately and to understand what makes him do what he does.
And what does his passing mean for UNFPA?
It's a great loss for UNFPA, but it is even a greater loss for, I think, women and children and adolescent girls and youth, because he was a passionate advocate and leader on some of these issues that affect them. He was indeed very engaged. You would see him traveling all over the place, meeting with leaders and trying to talk to them about the issues that are very important. And he did make some gains. I mean, he actually did bring in quite some gains in terms of the issues that he's dealing with in all the continents. And his engagement with leaders and the ordinary people is just amazing. If there is one legacy that I think he's left behind, is that we have to continue being passionate about these issues. We have to continue making sure that the rights of women and girls, adolescent girls, the youth, issues of sexual and reproductive health and rights still remain to be at the front. We have to make sure that family planning reaches out to all the women, because there is a considerable amount of women. There's a huge number of women who still are not able to access family planning, who are not able to choose when to become pregnant and when to give birth and how many children they should have. And these are issues that always concerned him in terms of families being able to plan their own families. And I think that is something that we have to continue working on, because the job is not done.
A woman who was once called crazy for protecting sea turtles against poachers has helped to make her community a model for marine conservation in the Caribbean. Susan Lacan-Baptiste is managing director of Nature Seekers, a nonprofit conservation group in the fishing village of Matura in Trinidad and Tobago, where female leatherback turtles come to lay their eggs between April and August. Ms. Lacan-Baptiste encountered ridicule and resistance when she first began standing up for the turtles near 30 years ago. Since then, she's been honored by the UN and other organizations, while her neighbors have become strong stewards for turtle conservation and sustainable tourism. Ahead of the Ocean Conference at UN headquarters this week, Diane Penn asked Ms. Lacan-Baptiste what inspired her to fight for the biggest turtles on Earth.
What inspired me is because I wanted to make a difference. You know, everybody believe, or most people, even in the early days, that patrolling, especially with poachers, that's a man's thing. I said, I'm going to prove them wrong. I'm going to show that I can do just as good. I can tag turtles. I can talk to poachers. I can disarm with charm. I can actually win the hearts of people and change perceptions. And to me, that was my driving force.
How did you become involved in conservation?
I live in the community, and when I went out onto the beach and I saw all these huge turtles with just all the eggs in the stomach, with just a few pounds of shoulder meat missing, I remember seeing turtles with chop all over and no part thereof missing. And I said, you know, I have to be a part of doing something and curbing this. And I remember when I started, and I used to walk through that forested area, walk up and down on the beach in the night, and people would call me mother of turtle, turtle police. You can't make a difference, you know, and everybody is to laugh at me and think I was crazy. Even sometimes I would question and say, Susan, are you crazy to be out here in the night? Because I had a day job, because that was strictly volunteerism.
Is it that it's a lot of women involved in the organization?
No. It has set a trend, you know, because even now we had competition among ourselves in terms of who will tag the most turtles. No man has reached my goal. It was 31 turtles in one night that I tagged. Now women has gotten strength. They are now empowered. They realize this is not a man's thing. This is something where we all can share. And they are doing a wonderful job in terms of conservation, dedication, support. I am so happy that this legacy that we have built is now emulated in so many different communities in so many countries. Because we would teach the people from Grenada, St. Lucia, how they too can use their resources as a tool for conservation while creating sustainable livelihoods.
You've been listening to UN Gender Focus from the United Nations in New York. You can follow more of our programs at radio.un.org. We're also on Facebook and on Twitter. Thanks for joining us today. I'm Jocelyn Sambira.